The Nutty Bites podcast is geek-approved by the Geek Out with Mainframe podcast, because it's just that darn awesome.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases and Epic fans. We have got a treat for you today. This is a special Nutty Bites and Epic crossover. With me today, I've got the hosts of Epic, Mark Cabot.
Hello.
Andy, last name?
Well, actually, it is Andy last name.
Yes. And we have special guests with us, returning to the show, Paul and Storm.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back, guys. Just very quickly, before we start interviewing and getting into the nitty-gritty of why you're back on the show, I have to say I really enjoyed that George R. R. Martin broke your guitar.
Yes, that was a singular experience.
Everybody enjoyed that except for the guitar.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not usually a fan of guitars getting broken, but that was pretty awesome.
He didn't just break the he destroyed that guitar.
Yeah, well, that's his MO. He doesn't just break your he destroyed that guitar like he destroys our hearts.
Well, it's a little known fact that he destroys a guitar at every single appearance he does.
He also went and destroyed every other guitar in its family. It was really thorough.
Except for that one scrappy guitar that everybody loves.
Well, that's
and,
because it was disguised
that one
as
just
a tambourine.
Got tortured. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that one was disguised as a tambourine.
Yeah, well, that one, you learn later on that it was destroyed, but he just sort of mentions it offhandedly several chapters later.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he died of typhoid just like five days after the battle.
So this metaphor is going into a weird way.
So I had a question about that guitar because I watched that video and it looked like that thing shattered really easily. Was that a stunt guitar?
It was a real guitar, but it was a real cheap guitar. although any guitar is not made for durability first. It's, you know, it's a musical instrument.
Except for the guitars that are made out of lead. Those are reasonably
I
durable.
Love lead guitars. They create such a sound.
They are rather malleable, though.
Mm. And you tend to get sick after using them.
But they're for really, really serious heavy metal.
Yes.
Oh.
There we go. I have my in there, so I'm good for the episode.
But the guitar that was smashed was the finest guitar that Best Buy sells.
Actually, that is not true. It is, in fact, the cheapest guitar that Best Buy sells.
Well, no, it's the only guitar that Best Buy sells.
Well, okay, technically.
So you're both right. Is it the My First Guitar?
We all win. And there was actually some bit of debate about guitar smashing technique backstage. I don't mean to spoil the illusion, but that the smashing was not an unexpected surprise act.
It was actually we were really surprised, and you know the reaction to that video when it got out was wonderful, but we were very surprised at how many people would post comments like, was that planned? Did that actually just happen? That was uncool of him to smash your guitar like that. Like a surprising number of people who actually seemed to think that actually somebody tweeted to because Neil Gaiman was there at the scene of that as well. And somebody tweeted to Neil like, you know, something along those lines. And Neil tweeted back, no, George just happened to be walking by the theater and I happened to be walking about 45 yards behind him.
I love that George has such a sense of humor. That
was his idea, by the way.
That does not surprise me, actually.
Yeah. that was the best part of that, where like we gingerly emailed and we agonized over the email, sending it to him, like making sure it wasn't too long, wasn't too short, and didn't make him feel like we were mocking him or anything. And we, you know, finally just sent this email. You know, if you wanted to show up and you could, you know, interrupt the song and. You know, take us to task or wag your finger at us or just stare us down or whatever. And he emailed right back with, would you guys have a guitar I could smash? And then we knew we were golden.
I love him.
He probably just checked something off his bucket list there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, who doesn't want to smash a guitar?
Yeah, it was three bucket lists that were satisfied all at once on that stage.
So how many we're not worthies were there behind stage? I mean, come on.
We actually managed to keep ourselves pretty reasonably together. We'd met him a year ago, so it was a bit more old hat for us. We'd met him at the previous Comic-Con, so that helped some. Although there was certainly, you know, when he came backstage and Neil came backstage pre-show, there was certainly lots of murmuring behind them as they passed. by people realizing that there was, you know, fiction royalty wandering through the backstage area. That was kind of that was neat to see.
That's awesome. That is one of my favorite stories that have come out of Comic-Con. And again, like I said, I love George's sense of humor. So I love that he totally got into that. And the fact that it's his idea to smash the guitar is even better.
Yeah.
So, all right, now that we got that out of the way, let's go into what are you doing now? Why are you back on my show? Obviously, you have a project. Tell us. You've got this awesome ball Kickstarter. It's all about balls. I'm going to say that again. Balls.
Yes, kickstarting balls.
It's our children's show, all about balls.
We have a we looked around and we saw all these awesome Kickstarters happening and a lot of horrible Kickstarters happening. And we figured we were somewhere in the spectrum. And we have a new album that we're putting out called Ball Pit, and decided instead of just sort of releasing it like bands usually do and going through the usual hoping people will buy it and see it, that we would do it as a Kickstarter, where we would launch the album and also launch a bunch of projects related to the album. So we would not only be putting the album out there, but we'd be seeding things like videos and maybe comic books and apps and all these things that we've wanted to do for years, but never had the funding to do or the time. And we sort of looked at what worked with Kickstarters and decided what our basket of stuff was going to be. And we launched it. Paul, when did we launch it? About a week and a half ago?
A little over 2 weeks ago, I think, actually.
Yeah, we're surprised we've been surprised by how strong the response has been up to this point.
Well, you've already met your original goal, right?
We have.
And you're getting into stretch goals now.
Yes.
Yes.
They're quite deep into the stretch goals, I think.
We are. It's funny. We've said as much that we thought we were really being clever and ahead of the curve by planning a whole bunch of stretch goals beyond our initial one. And we were fortunate enough to have blown through most of them in the first week. And by the end of this past week, the holiday week, we had run out of our initial stretch goals, and we were sort of scrambling to find new ones that weren't just sort of, you know, slapping paper mache up on the wall and saying, here, buy this thing or give us money towards this thing to keep people interested. So we actually do have a new stretch goal or two coming out that we actually can mention them now if you like.
Yes, please
do. Pretty cool.
Speaking of fiction royalty, we are so excited about this one, where we have met through not just Comic-Con, but just being on the nerd circuit, so many wonderful creators, particularly authors and illustrators in addition to musicians. So we have decided to do what we are dubbing the Pollen Storm Anomicon.
Ooh.
Which is going to be an anthology of very short stories and some illustrations based on, inspired by us and our music.
The authors that we've got confirmed for this thing so far are, in alphabetical order, James S.A. Corey, Lev Grossman, Mikey Newman, Pat Rothfuss, John Scalzi, and Scott Sigler. And we're going to have illustrations.
Go, Scott. Sorry, friend of the show.
Scott Sigler's everybody's friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. He's really, quite awesome.
He's pretty great. And then illustrations from Bill Amond, Scott Johnson, Len Peralta, Chris Straub, Zach Wiener, Annie Wu, and also illustrations from Will Wheaton and Neil Gaiman.
Sweet.
Wow. Yeah,
that is crazy. Awesome. That's a great list.
It is. Yeah. We're pretty impressed ourselves, if we do say so ourselves. We were thrilled watching it come together. I made a comment somewhere else how it felt like watching an episode of the A-Team, watching this cobbled plan suddenly come together. And we're hoping to add a few more people to it before it's done. But that's everybody that's confirmed so far.
Well, if you're
we're gonna make it available as an add-on. Only to the Kickstarter backers. This thing is not getting sold or handed out after the Kickstarter. This is the only place you'll be able to see these new original stories by these people. It'll be in paperback form and ebook form.
Ooh, that's pretty sweet.
That is pretty cool. Now, sticking to the A-Team thing, if you do make your $350,000 goal, there's no saying that you can't paint your ice cream truck like the A-Team van.
This is true.
That's kind of a great idea. We are actually doing the math now to figure out, like Paul was saying, that we planned our goals all the way up to this $65,000 mark, but then didn't decide exactly what's going to get us between there and that ice cream and guacamole truck
yeah,
tour.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, we're putting the cart before the horse. at $350,000, our sort of ridiculous stretch goal we set, we will buy or otherwise obtain an ice cream truck and drive around the country giving away ice cream and guacamole. And we're going to, you know, film it as we go around and hopefully make some sort of good project out of it, whether it's a sort of documentary or a series of web episodes chronicling it. But somehow we will chronicle our travels. So right. and that seemed a lot more ridiculous 3 weeks ago than it does now.
And now everybody's expecting it. And I have to say that I like all of those things.
Well, you could post on Reddit. That'll get you going.
That's
yeah,
true.
I think we may make a run at that when it gets if we're within striking distance. And I think if we're within $200,000 of it, you know, that we might make a serious run at it. But we're doing the math to see and trying to line some people up because we would take a producer and someone to film it and hopefully someone that could actually, you know, run the truck. although that would be a great source of fun to see us try to.
That should
to
be fix. A Kickstarter level,
you pledge
level.
Make Will Wheaton do it.
He's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, he's just sitting around. Yeah.
Get George Martin to do it.
Yeah, George R. R. Martin, get him to drive you around.
We can chain him to a chair, and part of the deal will be you can pay money to watch him write or not write the next book.
I'm sure there's a lot of fans that would pay a lot of money for that.
Probably true.
I'm sure he's so not tired of hearing about that, I'm sure.
Yes.
But I could see filming a whole A-team sequence if we're out on tour, you know, where we have our fake guns and we fake shoot them and fake not hit anybody as we battle against the bad guys.
Well, to be completely accurate, you can't hit anyone.
Yeah. Oh, no. That would be wrong.
So wait, who's BA?
That's a great – I don't think either one of us is BA. I guess each of us have to be two A-teamers.
Yeah, both of us are fine getting on planes. So
that's true.
Yeah,
Storm probably has me, like, if just as far as feats of strength, he could probably take me. So I'd say that Gip puts him in the BA category.
Yeah, I have my Hulk side. I do have my Hulk side.
Well, you got a lot to choose from.
To be fair, you also do not suffer fools.
I do not. I do pity them, though.
Now, which of you wears the most jewelry? Because that could be the deciding factor.
There you go.
Oh, no, he stopped wearing jewelry. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
That's true. I suppose.
Ever since, I think it was since Katrina, I think, he stopped with all the jewelry.
Oh, I see. It was just too extravagant or something?
Yeah, I think he realized it was, you know, it was being, you know, just too conspicuous and there are people dealing with lots of horrible problems and the last thing he needs to do is show off all of this bling or what. I think it was something like that.
I could see that.
It's for the new decade. It's a humbler, more earthy Mr. T.
I'm all for it. I will say that one of my favorite cosplays that I saw at New York Comic Con was the B.A. Baracus. And in addition to all this crazy gold, like he had a soup ladle that was all gold hanging around his neck. He also had this gigantic cannon that he was walking around with that was all gold. It was great.
I've actually always fancied myself more of a Murdoch. Not quite right in the head. If I can lay claim to Murdoch.
And when you're not hanging out in the van, you're a little more Barkley?
Oh, wow, Barkley. I forgot about Barkley.
It only occurred to me a few years ago that was the same actor.
You didn't realize
that? Yeah.
No, I did, because they're so, like, different, if that makes sense. They're both crazy, but in different ways.
I suppose, but that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, holy cow, it's the buddy from 18.
I never, ever noticed it, and I've watched all of every episode of each show. It's kind of sad.
You should be ashamed then.
I have no shame.
So I came up with an idea of what you can add in between your anthology and the ice cream truck.
Sure, let's have
mostly
it.
Due to the all the steam sales that have been going on. I think you guys would be awesome in like a 90s Sierra era adventure game.
Well, you know, we've already funded an app with this Kickstarter.
Yes, tell my listeners about the app, because the app is a lot of fun.
Okay, the app grew out of a live D&D game that we participated in at PAX Prime in 2011, where we were on stage as bards, where something would happen with the action, and we would do a very short little song sort of to describe what had happened. Like, someone rolls a critical hit, we have a song for a critical hit. Someone dies, we have a song for that. And it was so popular, we thought it would be awesome to do like a soundboard app where you're playing your role-playing game at home, and you're the DM or a player. Something happens, you can press a button and get a sound to either make people laugh or just enhance the action a little bit. And then we saw what it would cost to develop it, since neither of us are programmers of any stripe, and decided, well, that can happen another time. We decided we would make it part of this Kickstarter campaign, and it was the last of the goals that we had planned for initially, besides the ice cream guacamole truck tour, and it has funded. So we are going to write 75 at this point. It may end up being more before we're done. 75 different little songlets and sounds and taunts, working with a for reals app developer to put it into a format that will be really nice. We don't want to just do, okay, this will function good enough. We want it to be best in class among soundboards, and also with really great art.
I'm very excited about this app, and I think it'll be a lot of fun to just kind of pull out my iPad and, you know, have a little song go off. I'm sure that my gamer friends will be very surprised, because I'm not telling them about it beforehand.
Yes, so that's...
hopefully they listen to your show.
You know what? That is the drawback of not listening to my show. You get surprised with stuff.
Awesome. So the app, is it only going to be available to the Kickstarter donation or donators, or is it going to be for sale?
No, it will eventually be commercially available, but the Kickstarter, the people who get it through the Kickstarter will get it first. And we're trying to figure out some sort of way to give them – like basically all of our Kickstarter backers above a certain level will get to – in addition to seeing updates and things, they'll be able to participate in polls for things like – we have a cover album that's another one of our stretch goals, and they may be able to help us choose a song or two that we do for that. And we'd like them to be able to have a degree of input as far as what goes into the soundboard app. Especially the people who actually purchase the app as an add-on or as part of one of the higher reward levels where it's included. So that's sort of part of the incentive of it, we hope anyway, is that, you know, they'll get sort of an active role in helping shape it.
I really enjoy
in addition
that.
To having it before all of their non-Kickstarter backing friends do.
I really enjoy when Kickstarters do that. I'm part of one of the Shadowrun Kickstarters, and I got to listen to all these different background music sample files, and I got to vote on my favorite ones and actually have some input on what is going to be put into the game. And as a backer, that really makes you feel invested and part of the project, which is fantastic. So I was really happy to see that you have included that kind of participation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we haven't launched it yet, but we will pretty soon. We're still kind of riding the log of figuring out exactly what our next goals are going to be.
Yeah, plus I if I understand it correctly, Kickstarter doesn't let you start doing that, get that kind of information to start polling people until Kickstarter funds. So
Right.
But yeah, that'll definitely be a part of the development process.
That's true. Technically, we don't have any funds until the Kickstarter actually closes.
This is true. So, what are some of your favorite reward levels from your Kickstarter?
I think my favorite, we have the Weird Gratitude and Savage Gratitude. This is one that Paul thought up, where we have. Weird Al Yankovic and Adam Savage have both agreed that we will film us saying something nice about these backers, these specific backers.
About each individual one, yeah.
Right, each individual to Weird Al or to Adam Savage, and then get their reaction to said compliment. And it's just, I know that I would love something like that. And it's just so weird. And we have a lot of weird, entertaining things, many of which we didn't expect anybody to even purchase, but that they're just amusing to see.
We have
a signed CD, and then because it looks like the word signed, we decided we would offer a signed and singed CD. And 21 people have bought it, which is great. But it's just a weird thing, and weird is great.
You should also put out a YouTube video of you two giving each other, was it 250 high fives, I believe?
Technically, we have not said we're doing an individual high five for each person who has purchased. Oh, so there may be some symbolic high fives.
I'm thinking now that we should.
I agree.
I wouldn't say it's the point that we would, you know, read each name, do the high five, and pause. But that if we did a video that say, you know, in the end credits, all the people who are in that category get the high five.
Or just have their exhausting names flash through the bottom of the screen as you like high five each other in really rapid succession.
Yeah, just like a fast motion with a counter running.
You could make it like one of those 24-hour music videos, like Pharrell Williams just did, and just have a whole bunch of different people high fiving each other as one of your songs plays for 24 hours. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think we can make something out of this.
Totally.
Yes, clearly, when you guys need ideas, you need to come to us. Because we're full of great ideas.
Well, I'm full of something.
Yeah.
Hey, so far all of your ideas are making me do more work, so I don't know how much I like this.
Yeah, now you know what it's like for me dealing with these guys.
At least all of my ideas are tailor-made to provide me with no work.
Aha, I see. Yeah, man.
Here's the deal. The A-Team van is a great idea, but you guys have to paint it for us.
Okay.
There you go.
We'll do that.
You pay for our plane tickets out there, man. We will paint it for you.
That's a stretch goal.
That's a stretch goal.
You get the Epic crew to paint the A-Team van.
And while everybody stands around and says, who are these guys?
That guy with the red hair has a nice mustache.
He does. You can't see Andy's mustache right now, but it's a big red mustache that's curled on the edges, and he looks right out of the 1930s.
He needs to be riding in a van.
If he does, with candy. If you picture, you're probably familiar with the overly manly man meme. Picture him, but not as tall or as muscular in color and not very good at fighting.
So you're going for like the Raleigh Fingers wax curls as opposed to like the full on Ron Swanson
or the
Mark Twain.
I'm getting closer to Mark Twain actually because I don't have to wax it anymore. It stays up on its own.
It does. It's actually kind of wild.
Your mustache has achieved self-awareness.
It has. And pretty soon it'll be taking over my hosting duties.
Mm-hmm. You know, that might be an improvement.
We heard what a mustache sounds like on the microphone once before.
I've never wanted to do that again.
It's usually beards that we hear, not mustaches.
So any other really fun reward backing levels that you want to tell the listeners about?
I'm personally a big fan of – we have a number of guest lyric doodles where basically we will print out a page of the lyrics to any of our songs, you know, the backer's choice. And we have various guests who will make thematically appropriate doodles around in the margins and amongst the lyrics. People like Ben Edlund, who, of course, you know, creator of The Tick and writer, you know, of many shows in the Whedonverse. Ethan Nicole, who does Axe Cop, which is one of our favorite things on the internet. He's doing some guest lyric doodles. Adam Coford, who does the Laugh Out Loud Cats, if you're familiar with them. Rob Denblaker from Cyanide and Happiness.
Nice.
They're all doing some guest lyric doodles, which I am a big fan of. I'm glad those things came together.
That is fantastic. Now, you also have, as one of your stretch goals was performing with other musicians, other nerdy musicians. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because you've got quite a good list of people that you're working with. This is basically a Kickstarter for you to hang out with your friends, I've decided.
You're not entirely wrong. and yeah, that's a big part of sort of what we do is we do shows of our own, and that's great. But there's this whole nerdy rat pack of people that has evolved, and we're always looking for reasons to do projects with them. So we are going to do, at this point, it's going to be 15 songs. We're calling it Extra Balls. And the artists that we have currently, we're going to have some more that we will be adding, but currently singer-songwriter Jim Boja, singer-songwriter Marion Call.
Nice.
Chris Collingwood, who is the lead singer of Fountains of Wayne. Some guy named Jonathan Colton.
Who's that guy?
Who knows?
Not sure. He emailed us and he's like, "Hey guys, I could do a song."
Part of the sixth Kickstarter having to do with games.
It's a long story. We owe him a favor, and so
he's a good kid.
He is. He's got some potential.
That's cute.
Portland duo, the Double Clicks.
I love them.
They are wonderful. Perry Grip. Who is known from the internet and also from his band Nerf Herder.
Yes.
Molly Lewis, ukulelist extraordinaire, among other things.
Oh, yeah, I listened to her, actually.
Yep. Mike Furman, who is everybody's favorite person in the world. You just don't know it yet. and also he is also known as half of Hard and Firm with Chris Hardwick.
Ah, yes.
John Roderick, who has his solo thing, but is well known from his work with The Long Winters, his band. And Sarah Watkins, singer-songwriter, incredible fiddle player, who was one of the founding members of the band Nickel Creek.
And so also, I had forgotten to add them to the list. I actually just did it while you were running through it. Also, two more collaborators that we're just announcing is MC Frontalot.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right.
And noted author and not so noted musician John Scalzi is going to be doing a cover song with us.
That's all. He's so much fun.
He is a bull.
Yes, he is.
So yes, this is basically you guys hanging out with your friends. Now, Andy, you showed me while they were going on about this the wettest reward level.
Yeah, I was looking at your more interesting rewards. One that caught my eye was water yellers.
Oh, that was I think one of Storm's ideas that I'm not sure which one was first. I think it was Pet Whisperers,
just before that. Yeah.
Where we'll video ourselves lovingly whispering your name at either my dogs or Storm's cats.
And that then just we just sort of creepy.
We expanded it from there to include water yellers while we'll shout your name while standing in a swimming pool. And then ball pit troubadours, where we will sing your name while standing in a ball pit, because we figured it was thematically appropriate.
And oddly, that doesn't sound creepy to me.
No, not creepy at all.
It all depends where they do it. Like if they do the ball pit at like a McDonald's.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
Or something. Or if they do the water yeller at like a children's wading pool.
And the kids are like, "Mommy, when is it my turn? Why are these old guys in my..."
We will probably do the ball pit troubadours and possibly the water yellers during our cruise that we help run with Jonathan Colton in February, Joe Coat Cruise Crazy, because we are building a ball pit for it. Because why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So that might be a convenient place and an interesting setting in which to do those.
Also, if people don't like it, they can't leave.
That's true. They don't get a choice.
That's right.
We also have it's not a reward level, but it's an add-on. My current favorite add-on is, and I can't believe we didn't think of it off the top bat. We have four different ones where we will sign a ball pit ball for you.
Nice.
I saw those.
So the first category is just Paul and Storm's balls, in which we will use one of the balls from that Joko Cruise Crazy ball pit, and we'll sign it. Then there's Paul and Storm's hairy balls, where we will sign a ball and then attach hair, quote unquote, and googly eyes to it.
I like then the quote unquote, which means you are not sacrificing all of your hair for your backers.
Yeah, no, this will not be hair.
That would be totally gross. Like didn't want anyone to go ew. But that it would be decorated. Yes.
I don't know. Be careful. Fans can be scary.
they might try to harvest a perfectly healthy ovum and grow their own pollen storm.
That's on them. That is totally on them.
Yeah. If they want to pay their money, that's their job.
I will say I do have one fan out there that collected my hair, and that was really creepy.
Goo.
I'm sorry. How many times do I have to tell you?
Then I thought you were sleeping. There's the level of cup pollen storms hairy balls, in which we will sign a ball, put hair and googly eyes on it, and mount it in a disposable cup.
Which will also be signed by us.
Yes. Awesome. And then there's ball and storm, in which we will sign two different balls, and then I will draw Storm's face on one, and Storm will draw my face on the other one.
You could add an extra one in there, ball and cup. Or two balls, one cup, sorry.
Oh!
Where it's that one mixed with the mounted on a cup. And...
Anyway.
Okay.
Hey, thank you for joining us here, Andy.
All right, that was the last time he was on the air. Two balls, one cup.
You see why we keep him around? I don't.
Sure.
Remind me.
He classes up the place.
It's all in the mustache.
It's all in the mustache. The mustache made me do it.
We should mention, for those who haven't seen the Kickstarter, that the cover art for our album is going to be done by Randall Monroe.
Oh, yes.
XKCD.
How could we forget that?
That's pretty sweet. And we also have some alternate cover art that was unlocked as stretch goals. That'll be available in poster form and such. Those are also going to be done by Adam Coford, Ethan Nicole, again, who do the Laugh Out Loud Cats and Axe Cop, respectively, and also John Kovalik from Dork Tower is doing one.
That is just awesome. See, more you hanging out with your friends.
Did we mention?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We called in all favors for this.
Did we mention when this how long they have to donate to this concert?
Yes. I was about to say it closes on Friday, December 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern. So so be there or be square and be left out of all the balls.
Yeah, if you're a backer, you're round because you're a ball, and if you're not a backer, you're square and you don't get to go in the ball pit.
That's right.
And the whole process, like once it's closed, that's when the entertainment is really going to begin. Yeah. You know, as we go along, we are going to make this something that is going to be a lot of fun to see us struggle with.
Pollen Storm will spam you with all of their frustrations and excitement over this project, I'm sure.
That's right.
So people can find that by going to Kickstarter.com, typing in Pollen Storm, or go to your website directly.
Correct.
Which is pollenstorm.com, correct?
Also correct.
See, I'm good at this. It's almost like I know what I'm doing.
And of course, it'll be in the show notes for both of our shows, too.
Yes, of course.
Awesome.
Shane, I've done it.
Again, Paul, then open the window. There's no need to announce it.
No, not that. I've invented a machine that can erase our memory of Red Dwarf so you can watch it for the first time. Again.
Really? Is it safe?
Completely. Although you might also forget how to read, write, and do math.
I'm a politician, I don't need any of that.
Also, it would probably make your head explode.
And ruin my hair? No. Let's just find a lovely American couple who has barely even heard of Red Dwarf to watch the show with us. That would be the next best thing to seeing it for the first time.
Hi, I'm Angela. This is my husband, Heath.
What are you doing in my house?
Well, we're just your everyday American couple wandering about looking for someone who feels like watching a show we've barely even heard of with us.
Maybe recording a podcast about it.
Hmm, that's really convenient.
And you can listen in on the fun with the Red Dwarf Intro Cast.
Check us out on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
It's time for Nutty Debate! No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Okay, so let's get into the nutty debate. And what we're going to be debating today is the best facial hair in sci-fi. That's right, I said facial hair in sci-fi. And the reason we're getting into this is Movember just concluded, and Andy's mustache is making us do it. Each of the curls is holding a gun in each curl, pointing it at Mark and myself. And so we're just bringing Storm and Paul along for the ride. So let's talk about this. Who's got the best facial hair?
All right. I'll start just to throw out a name to see what people have to say. While it is not full facial hair, I say it is still epic facial hair. Asimov. Isaac Asimov.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I actually a friend podcast to this podcast, Flash Pulp, last year they did a contest. They called it the Asimov. And it was the writer of Flash Pulp, J.R.D. Skinner and was it Strasburg maybe from Clark's World? That they were competing to grow out the Asimov chops, and they got Tom Merritt to judge it. And it was pretty epic to follow. So, yes, those are that's really, you know, if you're going to do the chops, that's somebody to admire.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, whether or not you say they're the best, I don't think anyone can argue that they are not the most iconic facial hair in sci-fi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Can I do one fictional and one real?
Sure.
All right. For reals, having just spent about a week on tour with him and being able to witness this facial hair in many environments, in many conditions, Patrick Rothfuss has the most epic beard, and to behold it in person is pretty darned amazing.
Technically speaking, he's more fantasy than sci-fi. I don't know if that falls within the parameters of the challenge issued to us.
I give you points just for using that voice.
Okay, then I'll go to my fictional one, which is clearly sci-fi. Evil Spock.
Oh,
yes. Oh.
That was going to be mine.
That's because it's the best. That's why.
From that point on, it really defined the goatee as being the evil version of anybody.
That's true. That's
well, it's the Van Dyke and goatee.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
Let's be technical.
I lose points there.
Actually,
technically speaking, isn't a Van Dyke just a form of goatee?
No, it's just the bottom part.
I thought it was with the mustache and the bottom part where they didn't. Right.
I thought the Van Dyke was just.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. The Van Dyke is the mustache and the bottom.
You've been schooled.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The funny thing is my regular co-host, who's actually sick today and was not able to join us in the studio, Tech, because he's in the military, he cannot grow the facial hair, unfortunately.
He can grow a mustache.
No.
Army guys have mustaches.
That's verboten not by the Army, but by me. But on Christmas holiday, he grows in the mirror universe, full goatee, Van Dyke, whatever you want to call it. And it looks amazing. And I really think that the Army needs to rewrite their rules to allow it.
I've seen Army guys with both mustaches and beards.
Well, then they're in that special, what is it, the Pioneers?
Probably. They got an axe.
Yeah. The Pioneers get to do it. And that's something American Army doesn't have.
Were they in the Oregon Trail Brigade?
The Pioneers is a special group in the Canadian Army that they get to keep their beards because of history and all this other nonsense, which just proves that there's no reason soldiers can't have beards.
That's true. Well, they can't get
they
too
gum
long.
Up your gun barrel, right?
Nope.
If they're too long, they do. You can't have your hair past certain lengths or else it gets caught in equipment and things like that.
That's true. And in the Navy, like all the ropes that hold all of the
In the Navy, it's especially important because you need to be able to have a correct seal for your rebreathers.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Seals can't have beards.
Surprisingly enough, Star Trek has a lot of facial hair we need to talk about. And before I go into the Klingons, because the Klingons, you know, they really know how to do facial hair. They get to have fun with it. It comes out of the edges. They've got the Fu Manchus. They can have the full beards, whatever you want. They get to have all sorts of fun with facial hair. But let's talk about the fact that Riker is drastically different between having a beard and not having a beard. And even Q says it. He's so much more fun without the beard, but he's much more serious with the beard.
Does he only do the reverse chair sit when he has the beard, or is that...
No, always. Okay. He does the weird chair sit and the invading of people's spaces no matter what. I've been going through Next Gen from season one, and he just... It jumps out at me. And he's constantly putting his foot up on Data's chair.
Well, pants are really tight.
Well, maybe his beard is like his equivalent of a restraining bolt.
Yes, there you go.
Well, there's one in one of the movies, one of the early movies, or maybe it's one of the late movies. I don't really remember.
Insurrection, when the beard goes away and he says it's smooth as an android's bottom.
No, I wasn't going to mention that.
And Data says no.
There's a point where he's kissing Troy, and Troy says, "I've never kissed you with a beard before." Which is completely wrong. She's kissed him many, many times with a beard through the original series.
No.
If you YouTube it, there's a guy who actually plays that clip and then plays like five clips of her kissing him throughout
now,
the series.
Did you see it in the high def version?
Because maybe it was a euphemism.
Oh,
or some more
maybe it was
more
her
daring
beard.
Sexual act that they could not describe in more detail.
Maybe
sure.
Well, you know, that I can see that.
Not to take us off of Star Trek, but I'm surprised nobody's mentioned Gandalf yet.
Didn't get there yet. Oh. Yeah. But yes, absolutely, Gandalf. That's
like a godly beard.
There's
that's
another
like
man
majestic.
That changes when he shaves his beard.
Yes, there is. That is another man that changes.
This is true.
He turns into Magneto. but actually, I want to stay on Star Trek just a little bit longer because I have to mention there was a couple episodes where Picard had a beard.
Yes.
And that man can grow a beard.
Yes, he can. Sure. He rocks it.
Was that when he was getting tortured or
I think
he grow a beard then?
Wasn't it the one where he was like living his whole life inside another?
Oh, right.
The inner light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had like just a full on like.
I'm sorry, that man can do no wrong. He really can't.
He's been in a ball pit. Remember that picture?
That's true, yeah.
It's become like its own meme at this point.
Oh, right. Yes, that's true.
Wait, what are we talking about?
There's a picture of, was it him? Was it him and Ian McKellen that was going around?
No, I think it was just him.
It was just him at the time?
Yeah, he's been tweeting on Twitter. He's been putting all these
pictures. He's been doing crazy, goofy pictures.
But there's a whole bunch with him and Ian McKellen where they're just doing these ridiculous scenes and they got these funny hats on and they're doing something or
bowlers.
Yeah.
Well, in Excalibur, Patrick Stewart rocked the beard pretty well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Excalibur?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Totally. Very medieval.
He looks great in the ball pit. That's awesome.
Our interviews with Paul and Storm always end up in
that's
an
his
image
wife
search.
Next to him, actually.
I was just going to say, and here he is with his wife. I think it's so funny that Ian McKellen came over to marry the two, him and his wife, and there's more pictures of him and Ian McKellen than anything else.
Well, they've known each other forever.
Yeah.
Well, they're in New York because they're doing a couple of plays in repertory. They're doing Waiting for Godot and one other play I don't remember in repertory until like March. So they're spending all sorts of time together lately.
Yes, which is awesome. But moving on to more facial hair. So you said we've all said one at least, right?
Yeah, I've said Picard in I forgot the title of the episode where
Inner Light.
Inner Light.
Yeah. I'm going to bring this up, and I'm totally cheating, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm figuring out how to make Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Mm-hmm.
He works because he's in Bones.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. He's in sci-fi, yeah. Even
Bones,
though he's playing himself.
It's a stretch.
Is Bones
that's
sci-fi?
A stretch.
It's a stretch. Although you could say
that was
that
a crime drama.
There's not the much videos, science in it.
Have you seen
the old ZZ Top videos like Legs and Sharp-Dressed Man? Where there's a bunch of hot women riding around in the Eliminator car.
Yep, there you go.
That's a certain type of science fiction. And actually, there was a video from sometime around there where the Eliminator car goes into space. So technically, you could say it's sort of science fiction.
I'm sorry, that man's beard is amazing. I love it. And he definitely knows how to match it with style.
Somebody should make him Photoshop him into a Klingon. That should happen.
Let us Google that. The last time we Googled Felicia Day and Angel. Let's see if we can get ZZ Top Klingon.
Klingon ZZ Top. That sounds great. So we mentioned Klingons. We mentioned quite a bit of Star Trek. Mentioned Gandalf.
Well, there's Hagrid.
Hagrid. I was yes. Yeah.
You know,
Emperor Ming.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
very good. You know, I'm going to actually mention somebody. I don't – you could probably shoehorn him into the sci-fi area, but Weird Al.
Yeah.
He used to have that –
his mustache days.
He had a mustache. That's right. We keep thinking beards.
I miss the
mustache. He doesn't look right without his mustache.
No. Weird Al is – he's too not weird without a mustache. I like the mustache with Weird Al.
You know, there aren't a lot of mustaches in general in sci-fi.
No.
Are we counting Wolverine's chops?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Axe Cop's mustache.
There is no ZZ Top as a Klingon. So Mark, you got to make
one. You could break new internet ground.
Mm-hmm.
Did the village people ever do a comic book?
Oh, there's one. There's a good one. Sean Connery in what was that? Zod? Was it?
The one I've got here. It's yeah. Zed oh, Zardos.
Zardos.
Yeah. You'd be forgiven not to notice the mustache in that just because of what he's wearing.
Yeah, it's all sort of a combination of like ponytail, beard, and diaper combo from that movie that sort of creates its own vortex.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the other one that I had up here when I first opened it? We cannot forget about Lando. Lando. Oh, Lando. Why did I say Lando?
Right.
From Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, Lando didn't have a beard.
No.
He had a mustache.
Baron von Munchausen.
Yes, Baron von Munchausen.
Good pull.
Mm-hmm. We're not all frantically Googling at all.
No, not at all. Oh, and I just scrolled, and yes, when Jaime Lannister gets his beard is when all of the great character changes happen.
That's true, I suppose, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Gentlemen Broncos?
No.
Have not.
Oh, my gosh, you have to see this movie.
It's not a porn, is it? Because with that title...
Not really. The story is this kid in the Midwest goes to a writing convention for students and submits his story to this great sci-fi writer who's going to judge them all. And he ends up not getting his story back because the sci-fi writer steals the story and writes his next book with it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And you're constantly going between the kid's vision of the story and the sci-fi writer's vision of the story. Now, the kid's vision of the story, it's Sam Rockwell, and he's playing Bronco, and he's this tough, burly guy, and he rides a deer and a stag and all this crazy stuff, and it has to do with yeast. And I'm not very good at describing it, but it's amazing, and he's got this great facial hair. And then you go to the sci-fi author where he basically glammed it up because he goes to platinum. Sam Rockwell's character is suddenly platinum blonde and he's got this white mustache and, you know.
It's a Hogan mustache.
Yeah, it's kind of a Hogan. Surveillance does. Ugh, hate those. Oh, and how could I – wait, no, he – doesn't have facial hair. Sorry. I was thinking of the Mighty Monarch, and then I'm like, no, that's just eyebrows.
Well, it's hair on the face.
That's true.
Yeah, technically facial hair.
Yes.
No, he has a very pointy beard.
Oh, yeah. There you go. But I'm thinking more of the eyebrows. And then you've got Orpheus. We're talking, of course, of the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
You've got Orpheus. He's got quite the nice beard as well. And comics actually have a lot of facial hair. You'll find more facial hair in comics than you will in TV and movies. And I think that's because otherwise everybody looks the same in comics.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
But in movies, nobody can recognize anyone with a beard for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it changes your look so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't recognize myself when I shave.
Yeah, you look like such a baby when you shave. But we've got some classics, you know.
That's why Jaime Lannister has a beard now. He shaved right-handed.
Oh.
Plausible.
Well, and if we're going back to Game of Thrones, you also have
Stark?
Sir Roderick,
yeah.
Yeah, well, in the television show, it's these stupid chops that end up tying underneath his neck, and it looks stupid.
Oh, right.
But
in
the books, he's got this beard, and he gets... They're traveling by way of boat, and he's getting so sick that he ends up shaving the beard because the sick keeps going in the beard. And Catelyn's like, I don't recognize him. Who is this man? I've never seen him without a beard. And so that was kind of fun. And then you've got the whole thing of Tyrion shaving off of Grandmeister's beard as well and stubbly whiskers.
Okay, we can finish off with the largest cheat ever, Chewbacca.
Chewbacca. What a Wookiee.
Full body beard.
All right.
I suppose he is a walking beard, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I bow down. Chewbacca wins. And
because if he doesn't, he pulls your arms off.
We'll use this as our epic words of wisdom. Let the Wookiee win.
Nice. I like it. I accept
in all
that.
Cases.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. This was a great edition of Nutty Bites and Epic. And we're so happy to have you on. I hope that you can join us again sometime.
Preferably in studio.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Picking apart books that you care about doesn't mean you dislike them. It just means you feel passionately enough to actually give a kafrap.
Not all the problems can be fixed by magic. What? Are you scared?
Hello, and welcome to Aboard the Night Bus.
Aboard the Night Bus.
Welcome to Aboard the Night Bus. A fun and light-hearted look at the Harry Potter books, chapter by chapter.
Lockhart is just too stupid for his own good.
He should be sacked. This is gross negligence.
I should stop hating on Harry Potter.
Sorry, you don't get to complain, Rosie.
I really wonder why Dobby was so worried about Harry Potter.
See, the thing about comedy is it's all about timing.
I make interesting points. I'm a Ravenclaw.
We have one demanding fan.
Oh, you're so cute. Aboard the Night Bus, a fun and light-hearted look at the Harry Potter books, chapter by chapter. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review, join our Facebook group, and now follow us on Twitter. And of course, send your owls to aboardthenightbus@gmail.com.
By the way, in that video,
I know. Well, I grew up. You know, it was a long time ago.
All right. Well, you guys get things ready. I'm going to walk around my house and feed my dogs because they're being
frittata
right now.
All right. Well, we are recording now. We got that your dogs are
frittata.
Hold on.
So now you know that my dogs
frittata.
If you're walking around whilst feeding your dogs, who's the
frittata?
Ouch. That sounds like a very happy dog.
Yes, it does.
Well, they'll be happier in about 20 seconds when there's actual food in their bowls. Right now, they're just doing that, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, food coming dance.
Yay, food.
It's bacon.
You know who likes food? I like food.
I like food. You got food for me? I'm into that.
Oh, hey, check this out. I can actually look at you guys because we're in this studio.
That's true.
Hi, guys.
Hey. You look like a microphone.
Thanks.
Your mom looks like a microphone.
Oh.
How did you know she's all cardioid?
I knew. I looked it up. It's right on your webpage.
Oh, it's on my wiki entry? Oh, yeah. Whoops.
Was that because we called you an
frittata?
I didn't say a thing and you called my mom.
Face it, most mothers are
frittata.
Just a rock bottom fact.
So if you guys remember, I don't know if you do, the way that I do my podcast is we do the interview first, and then we debate a geeky topic. Last time you were here, we debated our favorite fictitious music bands.
Yes.
So I got to come up with a different topic. Andy, do you have any ideas? I've got some fallback topics, but they're not wowing me.
Just sort of jump on me, why don't you?
Yeah.
We insist on being...
Sorry?
We insist on being wowed by this, so you better make it a good one.
That's right.
They're so demanding.
The stakes are very high.
Well, we could go on about Movember mustaches since we just finished Movember.
What does
sure.
that?
Somebody's going to argue that.
You just want us to say that your mustache is the best because you've been working on it for 3 months.
Maybe. The most epic facial hair in sci-fi?
Yeah, I think I've got a lot to say about facial hair, so, and the whole concept of Movember, so I'd be for that.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I like the idea of the most epic facial hair of sci-fi. Let's do it.
Okay. I'm trying to come up with a topic on this subject, and I'm totally and it's my suggestion. Oh, well.
Facial hair is important. I mean, hello, look at how much it changed Riker.
Hey,
I got to stop. I got to save it for the show.
If I didn't have facial hair, my wife would have to look at my face directly.
Nobody needs that.
That would be unfortunate.
That's what she says.
Yeah, I just did.
No, my wife, that is.
All right. So is everybody ready?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, come on up here to the frozen north and join us in the studio. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Or come when we're not so frozen.
Where are you in the frozen north?
We're just above Maine.
So we're eastern Canada, and it's not currently snowing a couple of, inches.
We've done Halcon before.
Yeah, we're just like Halifax in weather-wise. So.
Yeah, you guys went to Halcon the 1 year I didn't go.
Yeah, we're four hour drive away from Halcon.
Yes, we're closer than Halcon.
Hop, skip, and jump. Yeah, well, that's in Canadian hours, so.
Yeah, that's a Canadian mile.
A Canadian mile, yeah.
Yeah, so come up to Fredericton, New Brunswick. Come join us in the studio. That would be fantastic. But in the meantime, have fun with your balls.
Thank you.
Thank you. We like to share them with the world.
We will continue talking about and sharing our balls.
Thanks so much, guys. This was awesome.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
A little inside baseball here. The Nutty Bites feed is being switched from a feed burner feed to a self-hosted feed. Basically what that is I'm changing the RSS that iTunes grabs from and having it go from my own site. This shouldn't be a problem. You should still be receiving Nutty Bites episodes every month because FeedBurner should just redirect to the new feed. But if for some reason you're not getting Nutty Bites, please make sure you go to nimlass.org and make sure you resubscribe using the fresh RSS. It shouldn't happen, but just in case, don't worry, I'm not pod fading. There will be a new episode every month. Just have a, you know, make sure you resubscribe if that is the case. Thanks a lot. The official switchover will be at the first of the year. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlass Studios. You can find us at nimlass.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlass.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.